If you would, open your Bible with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Tonight we start off a new series called Standing on the Rock. And the whole idea of this series is asking one question: what is it to be strong in the Lord? What is it to be strong in the Lord? Now, first of all, I just want to say, Pastor Trent, thank you for this opportunity to preach a series, to prepare, and to go deep on this. And I want to admit that this is a bit of a selfish series, because this is a topic I want to know about. You know, I want to know what it is to be strong in the Lord. Because I find that, you know, this might seem like an obvious question to ask, but so many things in the Bible, they are simple, but they're also deep. Right? You can get a hold of them, but there's also a lot of nuance, and there's a lot that we can dig into, and we can get some nuggets, and we can get a better grasp and understanding and a hold on what God has for us. And so that's what I hope to do in this series. Really, it just comes down to two goals that I have. These are the things that I've been thinking about and praying for. I hope to point you to Jesus, and I hope to help all of us get a little better grasp on what it is to be strong in the Lord. I'm not sure if there's a topic that is more vital and is more central to the Christian life than what it is to live in Christ and to live in the strength that God provides to us. And so that's where we're going to go with this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 is kind of like the key verse of this whole thing. Hopefully over the next few weeks, if you don't already have this verse memorized, let's memorize it together. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, what does it say? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now, can we do this? How about we read that all together, all right? You ready? All right, 1, 2, 3. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. All right, close your Bibles. No, we'll wait a couple more weeks before we practice memorization. But this is such a potent verse. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What is that? What is it to be strong in the Lord? How do we get a hold of that? Each week, what I want to do is to kind of take a key word or two and consider how we can get a better grasp on this. And first, for tonight, as you see at the top of your handout, is dependence. Dependence. I believe this thing of being strong in the Lord, it all starts with a right view of God. A right view of who God is, of how powerful He is, and really a right view of us, which is how powerless we are. Because that brings us to a point of dependence, where we would depend completely and entirely upon the Lord. Let's turn to John chapter number 15 for one of the premier passages on dependence. Jesus speaks to His disciples in preparation for His death, His burial, His resurrection, His return to the Father. And He speaks to them using the illustration, the analogy of a vine and branches. And I want to look at a few of the things that Jesus says here in verses 4 and 5. And as we read through this, I have one question. Do you believe this? And I think you'll see why that's important here in a second. John 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Were there some phrases that brought to your mind dependence? As I read through that, there's a couple phrases that just really jump off the page to me. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And who are the branches? Raise your hand if you're a branch. I'm a branch. Without the vine, I cannot bear fruit of myself. And He says, just like the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, no more can ye. He says in verse number 5, without me, ye can do nothing. Do you believe that? Right? Because it's, in at least in my mind, I think sometimes, well, certainly I can do something. Right? There's something that I can do. Right? I'm not just like laying here and unable to do nothing, or unable to do anything. That's the right way to say it. Unable to do anything. Surely there's something I can do. Surely there's something that there's some, you know, some good that maybe even a lost person could do. They can go start a charity and ease suffering in the world, and they can, you know, do things. But what is Jesus saying? We cannot bear spiritual fruit. We cannot do the will of the Father. We cannot please God without Him. We can do nothing. That is a reminder of dependence. Branches, they must be connected to a source to grow and to bear fruit. If you have a branch, a limb, that is not connected to a vine or to a tree, you have a stick, and sticks don't bear fruit, okay? So it just does not happen. The stick cannot do anything on its own. The branch cannot do anything on its own. It takes the root, it takes the vine, it takes the source. Now, here's the hard part about this. Stick mode in the Christian life, a Christian life that is not abiding in Christ, it takes some time to become evident. And here's what I mean by that. We can go it for a long time in our own strength, and it might look like we're doing pretty good, but one day we're going to hit a wall and we're going to find out that we can't do it without Him. And it's unfortunate that we attempt to do that. We attempt to live for God and do things in our own strength because God has given us all the resources we need. And what's left for us to do is to stay plugged into the source, to stay locked into the vine, to the one that is strengthening us. And so I want to pray in just a second, but here's my prayer, that we would walk through the door of humility into dependence. Because it takes humility to come to dependence. Let's ask God to help us with that this evening. Father, we come to you this evening, and Lord, we must confess our dependence upon you. Lord, you are God. You are the Creator. You are over all. You are so much bigger and more powerful and more wonderful and more amazing than we can understand. And God, I pray tonight that we get a little grasp of what it is that we are completely and totally dependent upon you. And I pray that we learn to live in dependence upon you, so that your strength might be evident in our lives. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. In your Bible, let's turn to the book of Colossians. We're going to take a little bit of time to go through Colossians 1, 9 through 20. Now, we're not going to be able to give this passage the time or the depth that it deserves. There is just a wonderful wealth of wisdom and of truth in Colossians chapter number 1. But in these verses, I want to go through a few things that highlight our dependence upon God for strength, our dependence upon God for the ability to live out the Christian life. Let's read starting in verse number 9, where Paul writes and he opens up with his desire and his prayer for the Colossians. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." Can we pause there for a second? You see that phrase? He says, I'm praying for you that you would understand. There's some things that you would understand, you would grasp, you'd get a hold of, that you might be strengthened. Now, we're going to talk, this is where we're going to go next. But did you notice what kind of strength he's talking about? Strengthened with all might. Now, what's the measure of this might or power or ability? It is according to God's glorious power. This is one of the things that just, I don't have the words to explain this very well. But just consider that for a second. That the kind of strengthening that God desires for your life and for my life is according to his power. How big is God's power? We could study that and look at it and explore it for forever, and we'd never come to the end of it. God's power is incredible. And he says that you would be strengthened according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, with which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Whew, okay, we need to take a pause there, a breath. Paul, he just takes all of this truth and piles into one giant mega sentence, right? He's like, I want you to get a hold of this. And there's so much here that I'm just going to keep going on and on and on. He would not do very well in English class because somewhere there you need a period to break up the thoughts. But he says, listen, would you get a hold of this? God is greater than all. Jesus is preeminent. Jesus is overall. He is the one that is strengthening us. Verse number 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And so we come to the first point on our outline is this. Your God is all powerful. Your God, he is all powerful. And there's a blank there in the parentheses, and you can plug in there the theological term, omnipotence. Omnipotence. This is speaking about the omnipotence of God. The fact that God has all power, that he has all strength. It's the fact that Jesus, he is above all, he is over all, he is greater than all. This is also sometimes talked about as the preeminence of Christ. That Jesus isn't just the first one on the list of many other priorities or many other powers, but he's the whole thing. He's the only priority. He's the only one. He is above all. He is over all. That is who we're talking about, our God who is all-powerful. Would you underline that maybe? According to his glorious power. One of the things I've noticed as I've studied through a number of passages that talk about the believer's strength, it is almost every single time it's talking about our strength in relationship to God's strength or our strength based upon God's strength. There is no strength for the believer that does not proceed from the Father, that does not proceed from God. In Ephesians 6:10, we looked and we saw that verse. Anyone want to give it a go at the quote? At the quote, I don't know what I'm saying right here. Let me fix that. Ephesians 6:10, you don't have to quote it tonight. We're going to work on it. But think about it. Be strong in who? In the Lord. And in the power of his might. The strength that is commanded for us is not a matter of, you know, gritting our teeth and flexing our muscles and pulling ourselves together and putting on a good show. It is be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. And so it is in so many other passages. We're going to go to Joshua chapter number 1 later on in this series, where strength and courage are spoken about. But again, it is all based on the fact that God promised to be with Joshua. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul talks about his battle with his own weakness. But what God is going to say is that my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I give you strength. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 later on, where we're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so what needs to happen here? We need to get a hold of something. God is all-powerful. Do you believe that? And I think on our doctrinal statement, we would say, yeah, absolutely, I believe that. Now, if God is all-powerful, and he says, be strong in the Lord, why sometimes do we live in weakness? And really, the disconnect is faith, where we say we believe something, but we don't always actually believe it. Let me give you a verse that's really stood out to me to help me think about and to ponder the Lord's strength. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18:14. I want to give you the background real quick, but Genesis 18:14, there's a phrase that we're going to fill in a couple words in just a second, but this is where God speaks to Abraham and Sarah. Years and years and years before this passage in Genesis 18, God came to Abraham and God made him a great promise. He said, you're going to be a multitude, you're going to be a great nation, you're going to have a land. He gives him all these promises. And at that time, Abraham, of course, doesn't have a child. Now, how are you going to be a great people if you don't have any kids? That's kind of a problem, right? And so God has come to Abraham, has promised him this. And when God promised Abraham that they were going to have a child, they're going to become a great people, a great nation, Sarah, his wife, was 65 years old. Okay, 65 years old. Keep that in mind. They received this promise from God. 10 years go by. Sarah's 75 years old. And she decides that she's done waiting. And you probably know the story where they take matters into their own hand and say, well, instead of waiting for a child, let's, you know, get the child by our servant. And that just did not go well at all. That was disastrous. Big problems, not good. They took matters into their own hands, and that caused a disaster. 14 years later is when this happens. When Sarah, at 89 years old, she has given up. There is no hope that there's going to be a child. There's going to be a son. And when God comes to Abraham and says, you're going to have a child, Sarah, what does she do? You remember what the story? She laughs. She's listening. She's overhearing this conversation. And she's like, no way. This is not going to happen. And then look at the statement. The Lord speaks to Abraham, and he says this, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. The promise had not changed, even though it had been decades. And he asked a very probing question, a rhetorical question, if you will, right? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I think you know the answer. What's the answer? No, it's not. Then why did he ask that? Because I think Abraham knew enough about God to know that nothing was too hard for the Lord. But he asked that question to deal with the basic human problem that we don't believe God. Even though God has spoken and God has said that this is what's going to happen and this is what's available to you and this is what I will do. The basic human problem, here's your next blank. Oh, did you get Genesis 18? Is anything too hard? That's the words that we need to fill in. Is anything too hard for the Lord? After that, the problem is that we don't trust God. That's the next thing you outline. And instead of trusting God, we calculate what we can and we can't manage. We calculate and say, I can see this happening, but I can't see that happening. But friends, that's not faith. That's not trusting God. Because when God says, I will do it, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. So then it will happen. The disconnect is the universal problem that people have. We don't believe God. We don't trust God. But God's power is infinite. God's power is unlimited. He has all power. He's omnipotent. And his strength is what gives us strength. His strength is what strengthens us. We must believe it. That's the first part of dependence, is knowing that God is powerful. The second part of dependence is this. Next point. You are utterly dependent on God, really, whether we recognize it or not. The first part is recognizing who God is and how powerful he is. He's all powerful, all right? The second thing, and this is, again, this is not rocket science. I feel sort of foolish sometimes with these points because, like, this is obvious. This is clear if you've studied the Bible. But how many times do we fail to see it lived out in our day-to-day lives? God is all powerful. We are completely and utterly dependent upon God. Now, what are the ways that we're dependent on God? Before I give you a few ways that we see in Colossians chapter number 1, let's talk about dependence for a second. I don't know about you. I don't like being called a dependent. All right. I remember the first time I did taxes and I didn't have to mark, someone can claim me as a dependent. That was like one of the most glorious days of my life. I had some jobs as a teenager, and then you got to fill out the taxes. My mom was like, you're not going to use some software or something, like print out the forms. And that time we had to, you know, go to the library, you know, get the forms, print them out, start filling them out. You know, can somebody claim you as a dependent? And for like 3 or 4 years, like, yep. There is someone else who is sustaining my life. My parents are taking care of me. But that first year where I was like, nope, no one can claim me as a dependent anymore. Now I'm an independent. That was a great day. Unfortunately, I had a run-in with that later on when Laura and I got married. I was like, man, now we got two independents on our joint tax return. But we kind of messed up the Pauline law because when we got married in August, you know, there's kind of a lot of that year that she was a dependent. And so we said, nope, no one can claim as a dependent. And he said, yep, I can claim as an independent. And so we caused some problems there. We eventually got it sorted, but I tell you, that's not fun to do. Do you like being called a dependent? Do you like the idea that you are dependent on someone else? I think for a lot of us, we're like, no, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I can do things, I can take care of myself. But let's look through Colossians 1 real quick, and let's look at some of the ways that we are dependent upon the Lord. When we come to verse number 10, remember, this is all in the context of Paul praying for them, that God would give them wisdom, God would give them understanding, and that God would give them strength. Now, on the back of your handout, there was something we're not going to go through this, but I did want to include this. Something for further study. It's incredible how Colossians 1 overlaps in a big way with Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 in the way that Paul prays for both of those churches. And so that's maybe something to study down through, because this, and we'll probably revisit this in coming weeks, because this is central to being strong in the Lord, is trusting Him in this matter of praying. But what are the ways that we are dependent upon the Lord? We're dependent upon the Lord in verse number 10 to live the Christian life. You notice what he said? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We need strength to walk worthy of the Lord. In verse number 10, we also see fruitfulness. That you might work worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. We're dependent upon the Lord for His revelation to us, that we'd increase in the knowledge of God. We're dependent upon the Lord for the ability to go through suffering joyfully. Do you see that? And let's look at verse number 11. Look at that. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Now look at, after the word unto, he's saying strengthened for this purpose. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. The ability to suffer joyfully, dependent upon the Lord. We are dependent upon the Lord for our salvation. We see that in verses 12 through number 14, where God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That is not something we did of ourselves. That is something He did. The forgiveness of sins, something He did. We continue on down to verse number 16 and in verse number 17. This is strong. And this is the part where it's like, we are dependent upon the Lord, whether we realize it or not. We are dependent upon the Lord for life and for breath. We are created by Him. We are created for Him. He created all things. And what does it say there down in verse number 17? It says, and by Him all things consist. He holds all of creation together. That is wild. That is power. That is dependence. Today depends on the Lord. My next breath depends upon the Lord. We're dependent for authority. In verse number 16, it says that all powers and dominions and thrones, all authorities were set up by Him. It's much like what Jesus said to Pilate in John chapter 19. Pilate says, don't you know, Jesus, that I have power to deliver you to be crucified? I have power over your life. And remember what Jesus says? He says, you could have no power at all except it were given you. We're dependent for authority, for His loving leadership, for His provision for the body. In verse number 18, it talks about how Jesus is the head of the church. And later on, Colossians, it speaks about how the body, we derive nourishment from the head for the reconciliation of all things. And here's a bonus one that just sticks out in my mind for some reason. Deuteronomy 8:18, when God speaks to the children of Israel, He says, you're going to come into the land. You're going to have houses, you're going to have vineyards, you're going to have wealth, you're going to have stability, financial stability. It says, and when you have that, don't forget that God gave you the power to get wealth. Every part of our lives is dependent upon God. And so how might we summarize that? Here's three blanks. Okay, next three blanks. As creations of God, we are dependent upon Him. As created beings, as children of God, we are dependent upon Him. As servants of God, we are dependent upon Him. We are dependent upon God in every way. And so, what needs to happen? We're going to go to Revelation real quick. This will be our last passage that we turn to. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter number 3, we're going to look at what Jesus says to the church at Laodicea. Because they did what we often do. And that is, we look at our lives and say, we have it together. We've got things put together. We've got strength. We've got all we need. But what we don't realize is that the things that we count on and we depend on and we put our confidence in are actually weak things. And Jesus says, listen, don't fail to depend on my resources. Because see, here's the thing. God is strong. I am dependent. And when a weak person like me says, you know what? I'm going to figure out how to get it together on my own and I'm going to find and gather the resources to make myself strong, I'm missing out on the good and wonderful and amazing strength that God has offered. And we're making a fool's trade. And that's your next blank. Don't fail to trust God's resources. It just doesn't make sense. Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 down to verse number 18. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You see what happens? The Laodiceans, they stand up and they say, I'm rich, I have power, I have strength, I can see, I've got it all going on. But he says, you know what you don't know? You're actually, what does he say? He says, wretched. Thank you, Lord. He reminded me that I'm wretched and I'm miserable and poor and blind and naked. And Jesus says, listen, come get from me the resources that I will give you, that I will provide for you, that are actually, what does he say? The things that buy of me this gold so you can be rich. Buy of me this clothing so you can be clothed. Get this eye salve from me that you can see. Jesus has the resources. And when we fail to trust his resources, we're just being foolish. Because he has provided everything we need to live the Christian life. And so where does this leave us? This leaves us with two things. I think this idea of dependence upon God, I think it speaks to really kind of two broad groups of people. There's those that are self-confident, and they look and they say, you know, I've got it together. And my life isn't falling apart. And I have strength and I have stability and I have a plan and I have grit and I have determination and I have willpower. Like I can go forward and I can do this. It speaks to the person that is self-confident and says, watch out for pride because you're neglecting the resources that God provides. And if you're going to depend upon yourself instead of upon the Lord, you are going to hit a wall. You are going to fall flat on your face. And you're going to find out that that strength that you gathered and accumulated for yourself is nothing. I think it also speaks to one that might be despairing, that might be weak, that might feel incapable, that might feel like there's no hope. I'm defeated. I don't know how to go forward. I don't see a way forward. The one that feels powerless and recognizes their powerlessness. I think it's a good thing to recognize that we are weak, but it's not a good thing to despair. Because if we turn to despair, we're ignoring the resources that God provides. Because he tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so there's a humbling factor. And man, I tell you, I've experienced both of these in my life where I get way out here and like, I've got this and I can go do this. And, you know, and then I go out and fall flat on my face. I've also been the place where it's like, golly, there is no hope and I can't do this. And I've lived in weakness and in despair. But that's not the place that we're to live either. We're to live in dependence upon God, depending upon his strength. Here's the problem with both sides, with pride and with self-confidence and with despairing weakness. In both places you're saying, I can or I can't. But the whole thing is, it's not about you. It's not about your power. It's not about your resources. It's about his. And so come to the Lord. Confess your dependence on him. and determine that today and every day we live our lives saying, God, you are strong, I am weak, and thank you that you have told me that I can be strong in you. Would you bow with me as we close out? This is the time where we got to come and we got to say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I depend upon you. My question for you is this. Are you self-confident? It might be time that God is calling you to humble yourself before him. Are you despairing tonight? And it's like, you don't see any way forward. I can't. Well, it's not about your resources. It's about his. Would you come to him in dependence, trusting him? And it might be tonight that you're not a believer tonight. And the things that we're talking about, these are for those who are in Christ, those who've believed in Jesus. If you've never believed in Jesus, that he came and died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, would you trust in him tonight? He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll forgive your sins. If you'd call upon him to save you, to forgive you, he will do it. Father, we come to you this evening. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the strength that you make available to us according to your mighty power. God, I pray that you'd help us to recognize when we need to humble ourselves. God, I pray you'd help us to recognize when we need to take courage, because we are dependent upon you. And Lord, I thank you that you make your resources available to us. We praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.